to be here today to worship Him on Pentecost Sunday. Amen. Aren't you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Aren't you glad for Pentecost? Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about the things that make us Pentecostal. The things that make us Pentecostal. You can be seated. According to Christian tradition, the day of Pentecost commemorates the day when the Holy Ghost was poured out on the 12 disciples. After the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. Now, many Christians mark this date as the beginning of the Christian church as we know it. And historically, Pentecost is a Jewish feast celebrating the giving of the Torah in the summer of the wheat harvest. It was celebrated 50 days after the Passover and is marked by the Jews coming to Jerusalem from all over the world. They came to celebrate this event. The day of Pentecost is celebrated 50 days after Eastern and Western branches of Christianity. But the day of Pentecost is like no other. In the New Testament book of Acts, we read about an unusual event on the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4 says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance." Immediately, folks, immediately the disciples were filled with the Holy Ghost, causing them to speak in tongues. You see, the crowds of visitors that were there in Jerusalem were astonished because that every Jew who was there heard apostles speaking in his or her own foreign tongue. And some people in the crowd thought the apostles were drunk. And seizing the moment, Peter stood up and preached to the crowd that gathered there that day. And he explained that the people were not drunk, but they were empowered by what? The Holy Spirit. You see, this was the fulfillment of the prophecy of the Old Testament book of Joel, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people. It marked a turning point in the early church. You see, with the Holy Spirit empowerment, Peter preached boldly to them. He preached about Jesus Christ and God's plan of salvation. The crowd was so moved when Peter told them of their part in the crucifixion of Jesus that they asked this question in Acts chapter 2, 37. "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" What shall we do? And Peter, of course, Peter gives the right response. In Acts 2, verse 38 and 39, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For that promises unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Peter told them. He said, you need to repent. He said, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And you need to, for the forgiveness of your sins. And he said, he promised them that they too would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You see, they took the gospel message to heart, folks. In Acts chapter 2, it records about 3,000 people were baptized and added to the church on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2, 40 and 42, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." What makes us Pentecostal? Come on. God is our very present help. Amen. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Hallelujah. See, there is something about, folks, something about being Pentecostal where that you have the thinking that God is presently active in your life. Every day, as you walk through your day, whatever you may be doing, you can just begin to talk to God, and all of a sudden, you feel the presence just come over you. Hallelujah. God is active in your life if you will have Him. He can hear you right now. He might be nudging you to try to help you stay awake. And He is concerned about the details that are going on in your life. See, we believe that God is literally next to you, and all you have to do is to reach out for Him. You see, Paul made reference to that very thing when he was addressing the scoffers at Mars Hill in Athens in Acts 17, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him through, though He be not far from every one of us. He said that all that a man had to do was just reach out for the Lord, and He would respond to that man in his need. We are born into sin, and so we are called sinners. But there is a God who can intervene in your life with salvation. If you are a sinner here today and you need the Holy Ghost, amen, all you got to do is gladly receive Him. Amen. Hallelujah. It is a promise to you. Amen. It is a promise. See, we believe in evidence of miracles. You see, because God is present among us. Pentecostals believe in miracles. The Bible is full of examples where the miraculous took place in people's lives. Water turned into wine. Blind eyes are opened. The lame were able to walk. 5,000 were fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. And throughout the book of Acts, many miracles took place. When we look to the Bible, which is always the blueprint for God's direction, you can count on that, folks. If, amen, it is God's blueprint for His direction in your life and in the church. And there are 4 elements that contribute to these miracles. And one of them is faith. We are called to believe that God can and God does work in desperate needs in our lives. Amen. We believe the name of Jesus, and the apostles consistently spoke the name of Jesus when they were expecting a miracle. They to pray and to baptize in the name of Jesus is to recognize His authority in our lives. We believe in laying on of hands. Amen. See, God often mediates His power through humans. And that is why we anoint with oil, as you read in James 5. Amen. We also believe in the atonement. Hallelujah. This means that work that has been accomplished at Calvary. Isaiah 53:5 states that by His stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. There is power in the blood for salvation and for healing. Hallelujah. You see, the modern day Pentecostal movement was birthed in an atmosphere of miracles. Hallelujah. And that is why a lot of people came very early on the Pentecostal movement, because of some need of healing or some miracle that they needed in their life. I believe, Pentecostals believe, the Bible and its authority in our lives. Hallelujah. See, there's another thing that makes us Pentecostal is our absolute confidence in the Word of God. Folks, if the Word of God says it, then you can count on it. You can take it to the bank. It is true, and it will happen. See, we believe that we are led by the Spirit, but we are no more full of the Spirit than we are of the Word of God. We believe the Bible is the Word of God, And we believe that it is inspired by God himself. In 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by interpretation of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for inspiration, for instruction and righteousness. We believe the Bible is authoritative. You see, the Bible imparts knowledge. The Bible, it teaches us. The Bible, we don't always want this, but it rebukes us. Amen? The Bible corrects us, even though we don't want to always accept it. The Bible will train us, and the Bible equips us. There are no words higher than what is in the Word of God. We also believe the Bible is true. So that means that I believe it is infallible. It has no error. And I have to respond to the word no matter what conditions that it mandates in my life. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of things that people try to impart on you. There's a lot of beliefs that people try to twist your arm into believing. And there's a lot of things, whether it be at work, whether it be at school, whether it be a family member, whether it be the neighbors, they try to say, you need to look at this, you need to look at it this way and believe this way. But I'm telling you, if I take it to the Word of God and it's not in the Word of God, they can take a hike. Hallelujah. That's not always easy to do, folks. It's easier said than done. Come on. You see, because the Bible tells us that it's going to judge us in the end. If you're standing there on Judgment Day and somebody's, and God is asking you, well, why didn't you live like this? Well, God, everybody around me said I ought to do it this way. What do you think God's going to say? Yeah, but my word says it needs to be done this way. If it's not in the Word, you don't need it. If it's not in the Word, you don't need to live by it. Come on, folks. Line it up with the Word of God. Line it up with the authority in your life. The mighty God in Christ. Another thing that makes us Pentecost is our belief in the mighty God in Christ. You see, God is absolutely and indivisibly one. Deuteronomy 6:4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Isaiah 44:6, Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and besides me there is no God. Hallelujah. Isaiah 44:8, Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee that from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Hallelujah. Isaiah 44:24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord, and maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by himself. Hallelujah. By myself. Isaiah 45:21-23. Tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared from ancient times, who hath told it from time, have not I the Lord, and there is no God else besides me, a just God and a Savior, there is none besides me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Galatians 3:20. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. James 2:19. Thou believest there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. One God. One God in Christ. Jesus Christ was God walking among men. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. There are many other aspects of this great doctrine. God is a transformed life by the Spirit. You see, another thing that makes us Pentecostal, folks, is our understanding of the transformation of life that comes with the Spirit. There is not a man on earth who is not a sinner. Come on, you believe that today? There is not a man on earth who is not a sinner. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Everyone needs a Savior. And the holiness of God, we need it. It demands that we separate from sinful humanity. Come on. I said, we're all sinners. We need a Savior. So, the holiness of God demands that we separate from sinful humanity. You see, the transformation of that life takes place when we respond to the grace of God. Now listen, you can hear it all you want, but it's until you respond to it. Come on. That's when you show faith. I'm going to step out. You see, it wasn't until they stepped into the Red Sea that it departed. You can sit there and say, okay, God, I believe it. But it's when they stepped in. Oh, I believe, God, I need to be separate. I shouldn't be doing all these things that I used to do. Well, then quit doing it. Respond. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith is no more than just a mental asset that says, I believe there is a God. Faith involves trust, folks. Faith involves commitment. Faith involves application. You see, faith means that there are acts of obedience that takes place along with that faith. Well, sometimes that's one of the hardest things, is getting people to obey. Because people, I've learned over the years, people do what people want to do. People go where people want to go. If they don't really want to go, well, I don't really have the money. But you'll hear about them out spending cuckoo bucks out at Kings Island or Cedar Point or one of them places. But they didn't have the money to go to youth night somewhere and have a $5 after event. People do what people want to do. So when you sit there and tell me, well, Pastor, I really want to go, but I don't have the money. What am I thinking? They don't really want to go. Faith leads us to repentance, which is a turning away from our sins. Water baptism in Jesus' name by immersion. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the initial sign of speaking in tongues. Now, see, you could say, well, Lord, I believe that in Acts, where Peter preached, I believe that. Well, have you done it? Well, no, but I believe it. You think that's going to fly on that judgment day? Well, I believe it, God. I believe it. I had someone tell me, you know, I was talking to another pastor about some people doing something one time, and he said, well, the guy's a believer. I said, yeah, but he has never received the Holy Ghost. Well, but he believes it. He's a believer. You know what else, faith? If Pentecostal is a walk of holiness. Another thing that makes us Pentecostal are the lifestyle changes that we refer to as holiness. Holiness involves something called Christian disciplines. It's disciplines like prayer that you read about in Matthew 6 and Ephesians 6 and 1 Thessalonians 5, Jude 20. It's disciplines of prayer. It is disciplines of Bible reading and study in Psalms 119 and 105 and 2 Timothy 2 and 3. Faithful church attendance. Psalms 100, Hebrews 10. Giving of tithes and offering, Malachi 3, Matthew 6, Luke 6, and 2 Corinthians 9. These are Christian disciplines. Fasting, Matthew 6, 8 and 9. These are calls to holiness in the New Testament. Hebrews 12, 14 says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Understand that, folks. Follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. How about 1 Peter 1, 15 to 16? But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. You see, some may ask the question as to what holiness is. And it can be defined by two parameters: separation from sin and the worldly values, and dedication to God and His will. These are the two parameters. I'll say it again. Separation from sin and the world's values. Dedication to God and His will. Not our will. God, what do you want? Oh, that's a hard one, God. But not my will, but thine be done. He was the perfect example. Folks, when he was praying in that garden, when he was praying there, he knew where he had to go. But that flesh said, I don't want to do it. That flesh didn't want to go and face what was coming. He knew exactly what was coming. He'd been around. He'd seen those Roman soldiers crucify people. He knew what was coming. But not my will, but thine be done. Let me tell you something. God may be tapping on your shoulder or speaking into your ear and say, you need to do this, or you need to get rid of this, or you need to start doing this. Folks, you need to say, come on, God, I this flesh doesn't want to do it, but not my will. Thine be done. Come on, whatever it is that God wants you to do, we need to do it. And we need to say, God, I'll do it for you because I love you. That's what holiness is. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18, 7, and then chapter 7, verse 1 says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. All of these things that we just read about affect our attitudes. They affect our thoughts. They affect our tongue. They affect our appearance, which is adornment, dress, and hair. They affect our stewardship of our body. They affect the sanctity of marriage. They affect the sanctity of human life. They affect honesty. They affect godly fellowship. They affect worldly activities. See, the church has to respond. I'll say it again. The church has to respond and make a determination that it will not be soiled with this world. Folks, let me tell you something. A lot of people, you know, they got this idea, well, yeah, I see these people, they have this conviction, but I don't feel that. Is it really that you don't feel it or you don't want to look into it? Because you're afraid of what you're going to have to do. You better be willing to be holy before God. Come on. You better be willing to be holy before God. Because you know what would be a shame? And I'm not standing up here telling you what you need to do, what you don't need to do. I'm just saying, if something that you need to look into, you know, it'd be a shame to get up and God say, I was dealing with you about this. And you refused because you didn't want to do it. Oh, it got quiet here. Where's all that rah, rah, rah when I was saying there's one God? Well, let me tell you something. That one God wants holiness. Amen? He's one God, but he's a holy God. I guess I'll have to get you round again here. Let's talk about the practice of worship. Ah! Come on. Active worship is another thing that makes us Pentecostal. You see, heartfelt singing, hand clapping, hands raised in worship, anointed music, lively preaching, sincere prayer, sacrificial giving, communion. Come on, folks. We are worshipers. Pentecostals are worshipers. I knew I'd get you going. In fact, every aspect, hear me, every aspect of our life ought to lead us to a place and a state of worship. Classical Pentecostals need the gift of the Spirit in operation in our churches. We often go to 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 as a description of the gifts, but there are two other lesser recognized passages that indicate spiritual gifts that assist the church in operation. In Romans 12, 6 through 8, and also in Ephesians 4, 11 through 12, Romans 12 describes abilities and it describes talents and functions that help the church. And Ephesians 4 describes the leadership roles that help the church. But folks, when we get to 1 Corinthians 12, there are 9 supernatural and miraculous gifts that result from the direct operation of the Spirit. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discernings of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. These, the early apostolic church was characterized by signs and wonders and things, and these things still need to be in existence in today. And while they may have been abused in times past, folks, we cannot negate them in the sidelines of our modern church today. We have, as Pentecostals, we believe in evangelism. Amen. The last thing that makes us Pentecostals is a desire to evangelize the world. Let me tell you something. Put a side note on this. I believe in missions, and that's why we promote it in this church. But I think, folks, that sometimes we think that as long as we give to missions, and as long as we help raise things for Jesus Christ, and save our children, that that's all we need to do. Let me tell you something. You got your own mission field. I said, you got your own mission field. What are you doing? Who are you talking to? Who are you teaching a Bible study to? We believe in evangelism, except for when it comes to our personal lives. The last thing that marks us as Pentecostal is the desire. Do you have a desire to evangelize your world? One of the things that you will notice about everyone who first gets the Holy Ghost is a desire to go tell someone else about it. What has happened to some of us? What's happened to some of us senior Pentecostals? I'm not talking about your physical age. I'm talking about some of us who've been in the church for a long time. Where's that zeal went? Come on. You see, the Azusa Street revival was marked by converts being around the church for just a few weeks, folks. A few weeks. And then embracing on planting churches or being missionaries. There was a zeal that came into their lives to make it to the corners of the world. That has to be a constant in all of our lives, whether we have been in the church for a few years or for 30 years. We have to evangelize. You see, I believe in missions, folks. I believe that if we give to missions, God will bless us. I believe that, and we're going to give. But, folks, I want us to understand it is important to evangelize our world. You believe it today? I am praying for a revival. Let's stand. I am praying for a revival of all of these matters once again in our lives. The things that I talked about here today. Are you truly Pentecostal? Are these the DNA of your Pentecostal lives? Are you here today and you've never experienced Pentecost? Do you want your own Pentecost? In Acts 2, they said, Acts 2:37, here's what they said to Peter. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter gave that right response in Acts. Hold on here. I just lost it. Peter gave that response in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you want your own Pentecost? Do you want your own? Maybe you're here today and you've just been kind of going through the motions. This is just what I am. I was raised Pentecostal. I need to be in church on Sunday. Are you living what a Pentecostal is? Are you living what makes us Pentecostal? In your actions, the way you speak, the things that you do, the way you live your life, are you living what makes us Pentecostal? Whatever it is today, whatever you need today, it can be yours. It can be yours again today. If you're here, maybe some things are kind of not so important in your life anymore. I want you to redo it today. I want you to get that Pentecostal flame just roar in your life today. God, forgive me for my slothfulness. God, forgive me, Lord, for slacking in this area and slacking in that area. God, I want to be Pentecostal. I want to be, Lord, God, what you want me to be, God. Peter told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. He promised that they would do this. He said, for this promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Yeah. I ask you today, if you're Pentecostal, are you the example to your children of what a Pentecostal is? Are you that example to them? Do they see you seeking God in holiness? Do they see you being evangelizing your world? Do they see you doing all these things that we talked about here today? Come on, folks. Is there anybody here today that wants to be Pentecostal? Are you here and you want to renew that Pentecostal flame? Come on. That fire that burns inside of us. Oh, God, right now. Oh, Jesus, right now. Hallelujah. Come on. God, stir my heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Renew that spirit as Timothy was told to do. Come on, stir up that spirit that dwells in you. Let's fan those flames today in our lives. Come on.